Hey everyone, Stuart here. Just a bit of information about what's going on with the episode this week. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the episode that we're meant to have with John, myself, and Garrow will now be pushed forward to next week. So we're going to pull one from the vault. This is one that's been on the site for download for, well, since 2010. I think we did this show back in, I believe, maybe October, November time, something around there. Been available for download, but just been looked over. Compared to the other shows that go out in the feed, this one's never been out in the feed until now. It's a little thing we did called Take It From Us, which is a like a mini-sode, like a mini-episode about a film called Open Five, which was a independent Memphis film that came out in 2010. A mumblecore film, I think they called it. I'm not too sure. Anyway, you may have heard us talk about that film when we interviewed our friend and producer of that film, Ryan Watt, back in 2011. So, here's one you can listen to and seek this film out. We'll have the film's link on the show notes for this and the sequel, Open 5 2, and we'll have the link for that too on the show notes for you to go watch that one for free on Vimeo. So sit back and enjoy, and we'll get back to regular programming next week. Bye-bye.
From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I'm Hunter.
And I'm Stu.
And we're doing something a little bit different today, and in case you didn't notice, I was leading in today and not my Australian friend here. And that's because we're doing a little – this is the first in a series of short podcasts called Take It From Us.
Yeah.
Want to tell us what that's about, Stu?
Yeah, what it is, it's just we – don't really want to review films all the time, but when we feel compelled to review a film, we'll do it, and we'll do it with this tag, which is to Take It From Us, which is kind of a mini cast. I mean, we're not going to be set to a particular time of them running 15 minutes. They run as long as they run. And there was a film that Hunter pointed me to the other day, which we are going to be discussing today, one called Open Five.
Open Five.
Now, you have a bit of affiliation with this film, Hunter, being over in Memphis. Do you want to tell us about that? Thanks.
Yeah, I do. I saw this movie at the opening night of the Indie Memphis Film Festival, and it's directed by a guy named Ken Tucker, oddly, who made a splash at Indie Memphis a couple years ago with a film called Team Picture. And I guess he's kind of it's sort of like I saw this at the opening of Indie Memphis, and you know, I stay keep my fingers on the pulse of the local Memphis film scene, and so Open Five is one that's been kind of gestating for a while, and it played as a work in progress, I think, at last year's Indie Memphis Film Festival.
Okay, now were you aware of this film before its release?
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, I was very much aware of it for a while because I know a lot of the people involved in it, and my job, I tend to know about whatever's going on here. So it was one to sort of keep your eye on, and since Ken Tucker Audley's last film was, I think it won Best Hometown Feature at Indie Memphis a couple of years ago, Team Pictures. So Open Five was one to look at, and he got the biggest name in mumblecore, Joe Swanberg, to shoot this film. And Joe Swanberg directed movies like Hannah Takes the Stairs and LOL and Alexander the Last.
Is Kentucky a Memphis native?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he's from here or what, but I don't really know him. So
okay.
I don't know much about him.
You've never formally met him.
So this movie, Open Five, it stars him and a local musician, Jake Robinbach, I think is his name.
Yes, it is.
And he's in a band called Jump Back Jake, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And they did this film together with Joe Swanberg.
Jake is actually a real musician.
Yeah, and they're both pretty much technically playing themselves in this film. Yeah,
because I noticed the music that he was playing seemed to be very close to what a musician would actually project on stage. And also he's acting as a musician.
Yeah, he's basically playing himself.
Oh, okay.
But he is a real musician who really does that. That's his day job, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know, Stu, I know that you're a big fan of slice of life movies.
Oh, very much. And this is a film that you, like I said, you pointed towards me. And I am a big fan of slice of life films, like you said. I have mentioned in our previous shows, I like Mean Time and East is East, but they're British kitchen sink dramas, but it didn't matter. They were still kitchen sink dramas. It doesn't really matter what part of the world you're in. If it's that sort of tone of the film, I am going to sit down and watch it. And you said to me, Stu, watch this film. I'm not sure if you're going to like it, but give it a watch anyway and see what you think. Mm-hmm. And you were really pushing me on it, more than you usually do, because you'll recommend me films and that'll be at the end of it, but you'll go, Stu, have you seen it? Have you seen the film? I thought, okay, I've got a spare bit of time. I'll watch the film. I'll sit down and see it, because it's not going to be, unfortunately, up on the website that we're going to mention later for very long. It's only going to be there for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's up on Vimeo right now, and when I saw the film, they said it's up online. You can watch the whole thing in HD on Vimeo, but it's only going to be there for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So if you're going to watch it now, which is why we're recording this show, so you can go listen to it.
Yes.
I mean, not listen to
down
it.
There
watch
as soon
it,
as possible.
Watch it with your eyeballs, not with your ears. Well, use your ears, but
yeah. But anyway, so I watched this film and I was really taken aback just how good it was. I mean, it's an independent feature, which we're going to bring up very shortly, but it's really steeped in realism. There's no three-act structure. There's no, bows tied up at the end of the film to make you all, happy and shiny and all that sort of stuff. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen sink. But Memphis kitchen sink.
Right. And one of the reasons I was pushing you on this was because I'm from Memphis. All these places – I'm not from Memphis. I'm from listeners know I'm from Dallas, but I live here.
Yeah.
And I've lived here for a long time. And all the places in this film are very familiar to me, and the sort of culture it depicts is very familiar to me.
Now, let me ask you something. Does you knowing these locations detract from you actually getting immersed in the film? Because with me, when I watch a film that's made here in Melbourne, I'll go – that's Swanston Street, and that's blah, blah, blah suburb or whatever it is. And I'll lose myself in the film because I'm always trying to pinpoint, have they done the continuity right? Does this street run into this street and all that sort of stuff? Did that happen to you with this film or not?
Well, it does sort of take me out of the film because I'm sitting here going, oh, that's the Cozy Corner. Oh, that's Wild Bill's. Oh, okay, this is what they're doing. There's a bit in the film where they say – Sunday morning, we're going to go to the black church, and, Saturday night, we're going to get trashed, we're going to get crazy, and then we atone for it Sunday morning, go to the black church. And I was thinking, I know exactly what they're going to do.
Oh, okay. So you knew where they were heading, yeah. See, I didn't.
Being
on the
exactly
side of the world.
What direction they were going in.
Yeah.
So, being from here and seeing these locations, it does sort of take me out of it, but that's not a criticism because that's kind of impossible.
No, that's just a thing you do with
whatever. It's like I love the movie Bottle Rocket, but I get taken out of it every time I see it because those locations are right next to where I grew up in Dallas,
They're so familiar to you, yeah.
But the whole point is I have a certain bias when I watch it, and that sort of makes the first viewing sort of strange and weird to me.
Yeah.
And I'm used to watching movies with mental locations, but this one was way more familiar than most because these are actually places I hang out at. These are places I go to, like on a regular basis. Whereas, a lot of other Memphis films, they'll either shoot in places I wouldn't darken the door of, but I'm aware exist.
Yeah.
Or they take place in they shoot in places that are very
upmarket
Memphis, Beale Street or something, and that's like, I work right next to Beale Street. It's just there. It's a tourist attraction that's just there that I don't really go to that often because it's Beale Street.
Yeah, but because these are your sort of haunts that you you know, frequent every so often. You're focused on, you know, I've sat in this chair and, you know, and there's the stage and
See,
I don't have that problem watching this film because
exactly.
This is all
but I also wanted you to see it because I know what a fan of like barbecue and Elvis you are.
Yeah.
And I know you're such a fan of these things. I wanted you to see it because I thought this movie would ring more authentically to you than, say, other films that sort of romance. This is way more authentic than Memphis Beat or something. This
is even more authentic than, say, a tourist video for Memphis because with the tourist video, they're trying to spice up and go on.
Look at
the glamour of Memphis with the, you know, the nightlife and all this, but this is just...
Yeah, tourist videos are, you know, the antithesis of authentic, you know?
Yeah, you get there and go, I don't remember seeing this. Where's this? And where's this? But with this film, yeah, I really did enjoy this film. We'll get straight to the chase. I really, really did like this film quite a bit. It's a film I could watch again, but unfortunately, like you were saying before, it's not going to be up on the site very long, so...
Well, Team Picture got distribution.
Yeah.
And this one hopefully will too, and so it'll probably be available down the line.
Oh, good. I'll try and get
But let's say a little bit about what the film's about.
Sure.
Basically, Kentucker Audley and Jake Robinbach play versions of themselves, I guess.
Yep.
Because
Kentucker plays the, well, as he calls himself, poor filmmaker.
Yeah, he makes poor films, he says. And, What it's about is Jake is on the outs with his girlfriend, and he meets this girl from New York.
Yeah.
He's in New York. The movie actually opens in New York.
In New York, yeah.
And he's talking about going back to Memphis, and he wants her to come visit him. And so he goes back to Memphis, and he and the girl comes down to visit him.
3 weeks later, yeah.
3 weeks later, and his buddy Kentucker, and she brings a lady with her.
Yep.
And it's basically about their weekend hanging out, and it's very much like a day-to-day type thing. There's no...
What struck me was the uncertainties.
You said.
I mean, these girls go down from New York to Memphis, and they want to be there, and they don't want to be there, and the two actresses are played by Shannon Esper, who plays Lucy, and Genevieve Angelson plays Rose, and they're battling to and fro with their uncertainties about, especially the character of Lucy, played by Shannon Esper, that she's been seeing another guy back in New York for the 3 weeks that the transition time between from him being in New York and her going to Memphis. And she's battling with the fact that she doesn't know if she wants to be with him or if she wants to be with with Jake. And it's the uncomfortable feeling you get. I mean, for those of you out there, I know I've been in that situation before. And there may be...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it may be a lot of us out there who have been in that sort of situation. And that's where the realism in this film really started to kick in for me.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, not every relationship is like you see in a rom-com where it's, you know, all smiles and then you have a fight and it's all good and it's all tied up together at the end. And it's all, you know, nice and shiny peachy. But this is what's wrong. What's wrong? He's prodding and poking her and she sort of wants to tell him and she doesn't want to tell him. And that is what really attracted me to this. It's just the realness of it all, the reality.
Mm-hmm.
This film's just heavily steeped in reality. There's no... See, the problem is with the synopsis... that I had was, I said, part, it was a blend of part fiction and part reality, and I really didn't see much fiction in there.
Yeah, although, like, I think the only thing that's fictitious is maybe the story itself, that I think because these guys are playing themselves.
Oh, that could be what it is, yeah.
But I think that's where it comes from, is because they, like, I remember at the Q&A, Kentucker was saying that the film was very personal to him and Jake, and so... It's sort of, I think maybe they're sort of, you know,
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, like they were saying, they made the film because they spent a lot of time hanging out like at each other's houses, drinking beer and doing whatever. And they said, well, maybe we could like do something a little more productive and with this time.
Yeah. But one thing I will say about this film, it is beautifully shot.
Yeah, Joe Swanberg did the cinematography, and
it is beautiful.
He's famous for doing films like Hannah Takes the Stairs and LOL, as I said earlier. He and the Duplass brothers are two of the big names in kind of what's been dubbed by critics as mumblecore, which is this sort of kind of slice of life type indie films that are sort of kind of steeped in hipster culture.
Yep.
You know, they're very but they often focus on relationships.
Yeah.
And but they kind of have a day-to-day feel like this does rather than sort of a three-act structure,
yeah,
like you said.
Yeah, that's right. One thing I noticed as well in this film was that music played a big part in it.
Most of the music in the movie is music by Jack Oblivion and the Tennessee Tearjerkers, and it's his album, The Disco Outlaw.
Yeah.
And which is a fantastic album.
Okay.
Jack Oblivion. He actually starred in Mike McCarthy's The Sore Losers.
Oh, right.
But, and there's a few other bands on there as well, like Big Star, which my favorite scene in the film is when they're listening to Big Star
on the record.
And they're sitting on the couch and making out, and his speakers are messing up.
Yeah, that's right. It goes from a slight mumble to a loud blast, and then
yeah,
it cuts
and
back
it goes
and
now it's like my speakers are screwing up.
Yeah, poor wiring.
But they're making out, and you hear like this music. It's this gorgeous like music that's appropriate for the scene, and then yes, it just keeps screwing. I don't know. That was just a really sweet moment too.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously know my favorite scene in the film. I mean, I've got many favorite scenes in the film. One thing I must bring up as well with this film. It's hard to categorize, and I don't mean the subject matter. What I mean is the fact that this film runs 66 minutes. It's too short for a feature, but far too long for a short. So with a film like that, Hunter, are you playing in a festival in Memphis, or the Memphis Film Festival, what would you class it as?
I think it's classified as a feature.
Because
I just read on the internet just before we started recording this that it won Best Hometown or Feature, so...
Okay.
Tucker Audley's 2 for 2 there.
He's doing well. He's hitting home runs, all right?
Yeah, he is. He's hitting home runs as far as local filmmakers go.
Yeah.
But I sort of wanted to get into real quick just sort of the things they do in the film. Like, because I thought, you being an Elvis fan, you would find there's a bit in the film where they go to this the Elvis candlelight vigil.
You know, it's so my favorite scene in this film.
Yeah, this film clearly takes place during Elvis Week, which is
That was a nice surprise to me, because as you know, and a lot of people know me, I'm a monster Elvis fan. I just love Elvis, something crazy.
Right.
And to hear that this was shot and set during Elvis Week, and then to actually see the candlelight vigil, I was like, wow, man, this is awesome. This is stuff I really wanted to see. And
and you even get to see them go into some of those gift shops that are just filled with Elvis crap. You know, like you see them looking at the album from Elvis in Memphis, which is my favorite Elvis record.
Yeah.
But, I figured, I was like, I was thinking, I gotta send this to Stu, I saw that. But there's other things they do, too, like they eat at the Cozy Corner in Memphis, which is a famous barbecue place.
I saw that plate of ribs, and I was going,
I know you were.
Yeah, I bet you probably thought some ribs, you thought, oh, there's Stu, it's Stu and his ribs.
One of the panelists, at the Indie Memphis Film Festival was Scott Mosier, the producer of Clerks and Chasing Amy, all the Kevin Smith films, with the exception of Cop Out. Mm-hmm. I saw on Twitter, he tweeted that he just ate at the Cozy Corner, and he was talking about how good it was. So Cozy Corner is a popular barbecue spot, and it's very good.
I'll be hitting down there when I get down to Memphis.
Oh, yeah. But they even go to Whalum's church. As I mentioned earlier, they go to this black church, and
I love that scene with that preacher. I mean, what a magnetic. I mean, I wasn't sure if he was a real
that guy's not an actor either. That's real.
I just noticed that in the end credits, he is a real preacher.
Yes, he is, and he even ran for mayor.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Crazy.
Yeah, he is crazy.
So none of that actually in the church. I mean, this is for the foreign audience who have never been in a church in Memphis. That sort of atmosphere in that church is not staged. That is...
No, that's exactly how it is. They are shooting that with the people. They're basically just filming with the actors just at the service.
Oh, okay.
That is really how it is. They sing, they dance to sing in and dance in church.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those here in Memphis. Actually, Al Green has one.
Does
the
he
Reverend
really?
Al Green? Yes, the Reverend Al Green has his own tabernacle here in Memphis that you can go to, and he preaches every Sunday.
That's awesome. But yeah, anyway, so getting back to the story, the two girls come down from New York City to Memphis and they hook up with the two guys, and it's kind of like a given that because Lucy goes with Jake, that the other girl has to go, the other girl, Rose, has to go with Kentucker and his character. It's that sort of thing. Well, this girl's coming down with me and she's bringing a friend, so obviously we're going to all hook up and that sort of thing. And they actually seem to hit it off better than what the...
No, exactly. That's the thing is, like, we were... I was talking with one of my coworkers about that, and we were talking about how they seem to be kind of falling for each other more than the main relationship we see develop at the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's working on kind of funny levels like that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But there are just little things in the movie, though. Like, there's this scene where they go to they go down to the river to hang out, and they're walking back up this hill.
Yeah.
And there's this long shot where you see them walking up, and just over in the kind of the foreground, you see just a model standing there being photographed.
Yep.
By a guy. You, no joke, I see that all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I'm driving to work, and I drive by these train tracks.
Yep.
On my way to work every morning. And at least once a month, I will see some model standing on the train tracks being photographed by somebody.
Wow.
And so when I saw that, I was like, oh!
So they're familiar with that as well. They've seen that quite a few times, obviously.
Oh, totally. I was like, that is just one of those little things I notice that doesn't really – I notice it, but it's just like, oh, hey, there's another photo shoot.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that in the film, I was like, pfft. Like,
it's not just me who sees this all the time. It's them as
right,
well.
Right. To anyone else, that would seem like, okay, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
But no, that's not – that is literally something – if you live in Memphis, you see that. I at least I do. I see it at least once a month.
Yeah.
I will run across some random photo shoot with just a photographer and some model, and it's usually at these train tracks. But this was in just a field, but it's the same. You know?
Yeah. So that's the good thing as well. They've put things in like that that obviously people who don't live in Memphis aren't going to get. But they've thought, well, I don't really care. We're going to put it in there because Memphis people who are natives of this town will know that.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of people who aren't from Memphis, these girls in the film aren't from Memphis.
No, they actually are from New York City,
but,
I believe.
But there's a bit in the film where they take a tour in a Cadillac. You know the scene I'm talking about where they get in that Cadillac and the guy's talking to them? That's a real deal. There's this thing you can do in Memphis called American Dream Safari.
Yep.
And the guy, the driver's name is Tad Pearson.
Okay.
And he will pick you up and he'll drive you around and do a tour of Memphis in his big old caddy.
Yep.
And, you know, he's given tours to people like Elvis Costello and all these really famous people.
He's a well-known person over there, is he? He's well-known.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
But if you're a tourist in Memphis and you want a real tour of Memphis, you call up American Dream Safari, and that's what they do in this.
Yeah. Because he's actually talking to the girls about throwing a new motor into his caddy. He's actually talking about the caddy itself. I mean, it's his real pride and joy, obviously.
Yeah,
he's sort of bypassing the tourist, you know, sort of remarks he should be giving about this particular place and this, you know, this area here. But he's actually talking about, I threw this motor in this caddy and built her up. And
Oh, the caddy's a big thing. Like Tad's a caddy, you know, you'll see it driving around sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Kentucker Oddley said he was trying to make the most realistic movie about Memphis possible, and I think he succeeded on a certain level.
Yeah.
I think the movie is very accurate when depicting sort of a hipster lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a scene at Wild Bill's, and there's a scene at the Lamplighter, and there's a scene at Cozy Corner, and these are all sort of things that, you know, a hipster audience is
regular haunts
privy
for hipsters,
to. And, you know, like let's say a black audience would be really privy to Wild Bill's.
Yep.
Which Wild Bill's is the sort of juke joint they go to where all the people are dancing and Jake sings a song with the band.
I remember it.
That's a really great place to hang out, and I go there occasionally. But I think that the movie sort of depicts a sort of hipster lifestyle very well.
Yeah.
But there are other Memphis experiences that it doesn't touch on. So it's a realistic – it's the most realistic Memphis movie about, like, sort of hipsters,
yeah.
I think. And that's not a dig at all. That's me saying that that is a sort of – that is a Memphis experience.
And from it, someone who lives there and knows the place as well.
And it gets it bang on. That part, it gets it bang on.
Yeah.
But I think there are other Memphis experiences too. It's just – it's the most realistic movie about Memphis from a certain experience.
Yeah.
But there are other films – that like Craig Brewer's Poor and Hungry would be a different Memphis experience.
Right, right.
And I think this is one Memphis experience that's really realistic, but you know. So yeah, so that's what I think he did succeed on a certain level.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I noticed as well with the main relationship between Jake and Lucy was it tended to be like a roller coaster. It was she was very hot and cold. And
yeah.
You know, from years ago, having been that sort of thing, I was with a girl years and years and years ago, and yeah. I experienced the same sort of thing, hot and cold. You didn't know what you were going to get, and mm-hmm. you could see, I mean, you got to really think how much acting was put into his part. I'm not knocking him as an actor. I'm saying how much of it was so realistic for him and so true from, you know, from the past for him
yeah.
that he was just reliving it again as opposed to actually trying to imagine what it was like being in those shoes.
Oh, I'm sure he was reliving it again because,
yeah.
I mean, like Kentucker said before the screening, this is a very personal film for
yeah.
me and Jake.
Yeah, but that's
so
what I found.
Think that, so they are, their experiences as people are definitely on full display here, I think it's safe to assume that. I don't know that for a fact, but it's safe to assume that based on what we know.
Well, if they've ever been in that sort of situation, then the
I think most guys have.
Oh,
honestly,
we all
I know
to.
I have.
Yeah, that's right. So have I. But the thing is, if he's acting, what a stellar performance, because I could see
right.
just the realism in his performance.
I agree.
To
I
the
mean,
point where he wasn't even acting.
Exactly. No, one thing I noticed about, you know, like a lot of these mumblecore films, but I think especially with this one,
yeah.
you know, there is a naturalism to it. There's obviously no script. You know, there's an outline. Like they said in the Q&A, they said that they would just sort of tell the actresses, and they said like Jake and Kentucker wrote something.
Yeah.
They didn't really say – they said a script, but I don't think they – you know, they kind of were kind of saying that jokingly.
Yeah.
I think it's like meantime they wrote an outline
and that was
or
it,
something.
Yeah.
I'm not – this is me guessing here, so.
Yeah.
But I think they wrote an outline and they sort of would in each scene say, this is what needs to happen. This is what we're expecting. Let's build it. And they – like they said they didn't – they weren't like shooting intensely. Like they said, it would be like, you know, they'd shoot 3-4 hours a day or something.
Oh, okay.
Well, like, so it was really kind of a loose. They said it took them like, I can't remember if they said 3 weeks or 3 months, but
oh,
it
okay.
took them, but you know, it was just something they sort of built over a while and they'd probably do something each day and, you know,
yeah.
build the scene from like, you know, just a basic idea.
Yeah. But we shouldn't forget the two female leads as well. I thought they were fantastic.
Well, yeah, we mentioned them earlier, and they were great.
Oh, yeah.
At the screening I went to, I think it was Shannon Esper was there.
Okay.
I think it was her, but she was from New York,
yep.
and they found her over there. But, yeah, I mean, everybody in the movie did a great job, and the performances were very naturalistic.
Very natural, yeah.
And you know, it's just it's sort of what you've come to expect from mumblecore films, but it's very much focused on a local flavor.
See, mumblecore is a new term to me. I've never heard it before until you mentioned.
You've never, yeah, because we hear it a lot here in the States because it's sort of something that's going around the indie circuit right now.
Yeah.
But you know, mumblecore. When you think of mumblecore, you think Joe Swanberg, you think the Duplass brothers, and in Memphis, you think Kentucker Audley. And Swanberg shot this film.
Yeah.
And I think they said that they were working on it, or they were on the set of a Duplass brothers film when this sort of came about.
Oh,
but
nice.
They mentioned something. But it was definitely one of the highlights of the festival. Very. And it had a very, you know, sort of – it had a Memphis flavor that I haven't
– And what was the audience reaction like to this film?
Oh, they really enjoyed it. And like I said, it won Best Hometowner Feature. So,
yeah.
It had a very positive reaction. But what was it – one of the – one of the best things that happened at the screening was one of the audience members said, what's so, you know, you leave it kind of open. Where does it go from here? And then Katar Hardley just goes, sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, it screams sequel, but the thing was,
I think he's joking.
He's definitely joking.
Yeah.
The thing was, this. I was just going to bring up the ending. I'm not going to spoil the ending. I mean, because we want you to see this film.
We want you to see this film, and you can see it for free.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to it very shortly. But this ending does not tie it all up for you.
It certainly doesn't.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, damn it, Mal. I want to keep saying all these endings and let you know, but. Again, I want you to see these films, so...
Right, and this movie, it's only 65 minutes, you know, it's not going to take up much of your time.
No.
But,
it doesn't really matter anyway, it was an hour and a half, because the content is so strong that...
Right.
Yeah. You can watch a 65-minute Ratner film and, you know, it for like 3 hours, but...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Brett, yeah.
Yeah.
Kentucker Oddly greater than Brett Ratner, for sure.
Much. But, yeah, like I said, the ending of this film... doesn't tie it up for you. I'm not going to say what it is. It's just one of those things.
Well, and here's what Jake Rabenbach had to say about the ending at the Q&A. And this isn't spoiling anything.
Yeah.
And this is what actually you should expect from these kinds of films. He said, you know, it has an uncertain... He said the film has very much a day-to-day feel.
Yep.
And he said that... the reason it just drops off is because it's day-to-day feel. He goes, I don't know what's going to happen to me on November 1st.
That's it.
He goes, I don't know where I'm going to be. You know, it's uncertain the way – I'm standing here recording this right with you right now. I don't know what's going to – tomorrow I know I'm going to go to work and do these certain things. I don't know what's going to happen, though.
That's it. No one knows.
You know? It's like
– you can't script it.
Yeah, no, you can't. And this movie feels very unscripted, but, you know, it's – And
I mean, it doesn't end on a flat note of nothing.
No.
It leads to something, but it just doesn't show you.
No, it's like, but I think like what we said earlier is a good example. Like, you have a day, you know, you're standing here right now. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen a week from now.
That's it.
It has that sort of feeling. It just sort of ends. And it's just sort of like you've seen a weekend in these people's lives. And that's it.
That's it.
You know?
That's all it is.
That's it. But it's an important weekend. It's not just any weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's people.
It is eventful. It's not a non-event where it's just...
Right.
Like an Andy Warhol... You know, 24
hours. It's not like watching Andy Warhol's Empire or something.
No. Not at all.
So.
Things do happen throughout the film. You will be rewarded throughout the film, most certainly. One thing I noticed with this film, when I was watching it, towards the end when Jake is speaking to his girlfriend that he's on the outers with, she was wearing the same Joker t-shirt I had back in 89.
Really?
I've got a photo I'll have to show you. I am wearing that same damn Joker t-shirt, man. And
I
thought, awesome.
Oh, yeah. See, but that's exactly like something you would see a hipster where they'll wear a t-shirt they found that's ancient. They go to thrift stores.
Yeah.
And they find old things like that. Like, you know, finding a Joker t-shirt from the 80s. They may not be fans of Batman, but it's an old, crazy shirt from the 80s. And they'll wear it because it's old and crazy. And they understand that it's ridiculous that they're wearing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Definitely, yeah. I think I've got that t-shirt still somewhere lying around.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Let up and take a picture.
It won't fit me these days, I can assure you of that. But, yeah, that was a real nice little surprise where the girls were in the Joker t-shirt. And it's just things like that in this film, just a pleasant surprises.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated it because that's one thing I was like, I need to send this to Stu.
Yeah.
See what he thinks of it. I want to get the objective eye of somebody who appreciates this kind of cinema from the other side of the globe.
Yep. And the thing was, well, you know me, I'm a straight shooter. If I don't like something, I'll say, man, like it. But if I come out and say something, I'll really – I mean, that's why we're doing this.
No, I've shown you films I love and you've said, man, I want my hour and a half back.
Yeah, you'll be hearing that shortly.
Yeah. Episode 2, Stu goes off on one thing. But
yeah, I do.
But
no, this film, check this film out. It is on Vimeo. Unfortunately, it'll only be there for a couple of weeks. Hopefully, once it's gone off there, there will be some sort of DVD distribution that you guys can check. Buy the film and or Netflix the film or whatever it happens. But this film, to think after a couple of weeks it'll be gone and probably never seen again, I really hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't think it will because some of the names involved, like Swanberg and Kentucker, they've secured distribution for their films before.
I don't see
why it would be any different. I hope I'm right too.
Yeah.
I hope we're not listening to this like a few years later and going, man, how wrong we were.
But, I don't think so. I think this film's too good and too fall by the wayside and never be seen again. I think someone will pick it up.
Oh, I think so too.
I really hope so because I want people to see this. I mean, like I said, it's only going to be up for a couple of weeks. Hopefully the filmmakers might decide to keep up for a few weeks longer.
Yeah.
We can only hope. But because the thing is with Vimeo as well.
As soon as you hear the show, go check it out if this sounds like your cup of tea.
Yes, we will be putting a link up towards this film.
But here's how you can check it out. It's on Vimeo. You can search Open 5, or you can go to KentuckerOddly.com. Yep. That's K as in Kentucky, E-N-T-U-C-K-E-R, A as in apple, UDLEY.com.
Yep.
And you can check it out, or you can look it up on Facebook.
Yep, just search Open 5. They've got a Facebook page there. Yep.
You'll find it. It's easy to find. It'll be up for the next couple of weeks, from what I understand. Indie Memphis is sponsoring its is sponsoring it. So, yeah, check it out and
Definitely check it out.
And in the meantime, look for Team Picture too as well.
If you like this. Yeah, I will definitely try and track that one down.
Yeah, we'll definitely
You can point me in the right direction to it.
I'll point you in the direction of Team Picture. You can probably order it on the internet. Cuz I know there are some bookstores here that stock it. So.
Nice.
I won't be available on it.
Excellent. All right, well, that's us for today. We're the Midnight Movie Cowboys. We've got our Facebook page up there as well if you want to come and visit that. Got the website, www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. Email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Hunter and I are up on Facebook if you want to hit us up. The usual, blah, blah, blah.
You can hit us up at Twitter at MMCowboys.
Yep, as well. And if you want to leave us a voicemail regarding this show or any other shows we've got on the website, by all means, email address, midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. We gladly play all voicemails.
Yes, and come back to the website around Halloween. There will be a special surprise there for you.
Yes, there will be. All right, guys, signing off today is Stu.
Hunter.
Okay, see you guys. Bye.
Adios. Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.